Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This week on Pub Girls,
we talk Rebel Wilson's memoir,
the Joker 2 trailer,
and the rise of sea jellies.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pub Girls,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
I just saw that Kesha has changed the lyrics of her TikTok song to wake up in the morning saying, fuck P. Diddy.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's cute.
I love that. I was so obsessed with Kesha when her music first came out. I actually remembered all the lyrics to Your Love Is My Drug and wrote them out. And at the time, I was not a fluent English speaker, so I was like, this is me practicing my English.
So Kesha taught you English.
Oh, yes. Wow.
You're like those stories where people are like, I learned how to speak English from friends. But you're like, I learned how to speak English from.
It's like all your S's are the dollar sign.
They should be. I think, in like a more of a money mindset if I started doing that.
Absolutely.
Imagine only being able to communicate in Kesha lyrics of that era.
You guys never watched Teen Mom 2, did you?
Mm-mm. No,
because
I can't say
is
I did.
A truly iconic moment where Janelle, who is not a great mom, is trying to go to custody for her son, and she's talking to her lawyer, who's like, okay, your court date is here, and she goes, no, like, I can't go. Oh yeah, she got caught possession of marijuana. And she was like, no, I cannot go. And he was like, you have to go to court. If you don't show up for this court date, you will go to prison for a month at least. And she was like, I can't go. And he was like, can I ask why? And she goes, I have tickets for Kesha. And she goes, she's my idol. She's literally my idol. I got feathers in my hair for Kesha. And she has feathers in her hair. Like, it's so funny. It's so great. And it's so just like, yeah, I don't think you're going to get your son back, babe.
Well, but she's seen Kesha. And like,
yeah. And that's what really matters.
Yeah.
100%.
And maybe it'll help her be a better mother because she had time away from the child and mm-hmm. had time to relax and see a concert.
Yeah,
because I hear having
it's prioritizing self-care.
Yeah, self-care. Babies are stressful. Mm-hmm. I understand, mm-hmm. Queen.
Yeah, she never helps that kid. Caring for herself a lot.
You know what? What I think is really cute when people take their babies or like small kids to festivals and concerts and they're wearing the big ear things.
All the protective stuff.
And that just is so cute.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's inclusive as well.
And then you can accessorize the baby.
You can. You can bedazzle the headphones too.
Feathers in their hair.
Well, did you see the Twitter discourse this week about, it was like this gay posing next to, like a bar had one of those like chalkboard signs out the front that was like, dog friendly, child free. And it was like this gay guy being like, I found my new local. And then it was like people being like, how dare you this is so exclusionary for parents. And then there were all these people being like, yes, but it's inclusive for all the queers that have their dogs and don't want screaming children. And then there was just like a parenting discussion discourse sort of thing. And like, I'm on team no one, but I was just like, I'm enjoying the gays fighting.
Drama that involves other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So good. But more pet places should be dog friendly.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that.
There's a few more pubs showing up in Melbourne that you can bring your dog inside at, which is so great because we're heading into winter and it is thankless sitting outside in the cold with all the smokers. Now you can be indoors with your dog and just pray to God that they don't do a shit inside. Keep tabs on that baby.
Well, speaking about children, this did make me think of Australian Queen Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
Who did have a baby.
Via surrogate.
And a celebrity memoir that had been pulled from shelves in Australia and New Zealand, and it was all the speculation about it. And obviously, we haven't been able to read it, but we did listen to another podcast.
We did the next best thing.
Yeah, and I do think it would have been pulled because of the Sacha Baron Cohen thing.
Yes.
So that's now confirmed, is it?
Yeah, I feel like that was the worst bit of the book.
Yeah. It was really interesting hearing her, like, talk about growing up in Australia and, like, her perspective on it and just her being like shy. And it's not surprising as well that she was a painfully shy kid who sort of found her voice in performing, because you can kind of see that in the way that she's sort of a strange lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. like she does weird shit. She's obsessed with money. You know, she wants to make fucking gains. Like, yeah. Remember when she did that Dubai thing for Nobu in Dubai or whatever?
Oh, wow.
And her and her wife were invited, and they went, and it's like, you and your wife are going to get photographed at an event in a country where being homosexual is illegal. And it was so strange. And it was just like, you haven't really thought this through. Like, she, I think she does stuff where she's like, ah, oh, it's a tick, it's a career move, it's this, it's that. But it's like,
she's like, I'm sleuthy.
Yeah. It's like, you haven't really thought about
something
what
that
this
was
means.
Interesting was that apparently her agents told her that she needs to stay fat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like, I'm not saying this obviously in a, I don't think fat is a bad word, full stop.
No.
But because she always got that token role of the like awkward friend.
I mean, her character was Fat Amy in
Yeah. Like, yeah, the assistant who like doesn't quite do her job right and like loves donuts. And like now that she's lost the weight, I mean, she's still got the same humor and acting ability. And
yeah.
It actually irks me so much, not on Rebel's behalf, that casting directors and her agents would even go as far as saying that.
I'm not surprised.
But
like,
yes.
You see how people get typecast. And it's like that idea that in Hollywood for women, it's like the Madonna whore complex.
So
you know,
true.
Like, yeah. Like unless we can pigeonhole you as like hot young babe or like elderly crone plus 30. Where do we fit you? And I feel like there's become this thing in Hollywood over the past, like, however many years of, like, the funny fat woman.
Yeah.
You
know? And now I feel like it's, like, Nicole Byer who's playing those roles a lot.
But she, I love her.
Yeah, I love her. But it's like, oh, give her the romantic lead energy or switch it up. But coming back to Rebel's book, it was really interesting as well how much she does care about money to the point of like dropping, you know, going to the doctor in my G-Wagon, going into the clinic through the celebrity entrance, sitting in a separate waiting room all by myself so I don't have to interact with the commoners.
Literally. Oh my God.
And maybe that's like the tall poppy has like rubbed off on me, but I'm like, what? Like, you are just
also
that's crazy.
Another person. You're just a person.
Exactly.
I was listening to Bald and the Beautiful, the Trixie and Karcher podcast recently, and Trixie was talking about she had her like very first experience where she was in some city and they like picked her up to take her to the airport, and they took her to like a celebrity only entrance that she didn't even know existed. And then there was like a celebrity only lounge sort of thing. And that
there
were,
must
like...
have been a gay insecurity that day.
Yeah, genuinely. And like she hadn't requested it or anything like that. And it was also just something that she was like, I didn't know this existed.
Wow.
But she was gagged and she was just like, what the fuck is going on? And I just love the idea that there are these like hidden little prohibition era secret doors that take you to like...
Well, if there are, Rebel's talking about it in her book. Like she discloses, she talks about she went to a party with a billionaire and people were invited to like take part in the orgy and stuff like that. She also talks about how she was a virgin until she was 35.
Wait, you skipped over the orgy so quickly. Can you elaborate?
She didn't do it. She said she wasn't interested. But
it, what's
who do
movie
we think the billionaire
with Nicole Kidman, Eyes Wide Shut,
where
it's like the like sex murder thing?
It's fully like
that's
that.
What I'm imagining.
Yes. And she talks about how it also made me reminisce about what Australian TV and what the quotas used to be for TV channels to make Australian content and Australian fiction content. Because she talks about how she was in Fat Pizza, TV show. And then she was able to make her own show, which was called like Bougainville or Bougainmania or something like that.
Yeah.
And she was like, and I did all this by 29. I finally got my break. I'd finally been working in the industry and got my big break at 29 years old. And I was like, fuck, it was different. Like now it's like if you want to get your own TV show made in Australia, like the TV market is kind of dying, which is sad. So everybody's pivoting to online, which is, you know, a positive. But it is like you're at least 40 before you've put in the groundwork enough to have a TV show made.
Yeah.
And they weren't taking risks on people at all.
So. And it reminds me of something I think Ronnie Cheng said, which was like people in their 30s are writing for teen audiences and like the executives are in their 40s and like the people actually making the decisions are in their 50s and like the people making teen TV are overwhelmingly so old and so out of touch.
Yeah.
Probably because they had the genesis for that idea back when they were that age, but they had to, as you're saying, like work their ass off in the industry. And now it's like, okay, I can finally write this like coming of age film or TV show. But it's like, yeah, I'm a 50-year-old.
But that's why Heartbreak High is doing so well too, because it's not written by teenagers or anything like that. It's written by a lot of like people in their 30s and 40s. But the actors are contributing so much to everything and there's like so much creative input. They're listening to their audience too about what they want. They're dressing them in certain ways that people like think are great. And it's not just about like that balance of not being like, by the way, I'm they, them, and I'm proud. You know what I mean? It's like they're just like living their lives existing.
It's funny and it's cute. And it's also like the outfits are so slay.
Yeah.
It's like, this 16-year-old is wearing Dion Lee.
It's so funny. Yeah, it is like, and I feel like that's, at first I was like, nobody could afford to dress like this, like as a teenager. But then part of me is like, have a fucking fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, let's have fun. But that got rejected from, Netflix picked up, but it was, that script was rolling around and that premise for a Heartbreak High revamp was rolling around heaps of different TV networks in Australia.
I feel like that
for a long time.
That is every show.
Yeah.
It's always like, here's the 10 studios that said no to it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Dodged a bullet because now actually people overseas can see it. Like how much better to, I know Netflix is not the best company, but at least they have this big reach of teens and adults all over the world, like relating to these stories. And otherwise it would have been on like Channel 10.
Yeah.
And like cancelled after one season.
Yeah, it is so nice to have like strong like Aussie shows that are well received overseas.
Oh, that reminds me of a show I want to recommend to you. It's on Binge. It's called High Country.
I've heard about this.
I've seen it advertised.
Yeah, actually, I can't look away. It's we put it on as one of the background falling asleep shows, but I was like, oh my God.
You're like waking up.
I'm alert.
Yeah. So if you liked Deadlock, it's also got a similar storyline in terms of there's a lesbian cop in a couple in the country, but it's not funny. It's actually just drama. And friend of the show, Frankie McNair, makes a cameo.
Oh, no way.
In an old person's home as a nurse.
I think you're saying as an old person. I was like, whoa.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm like 3 episodes in and there's 8 in total. So I'll let you know.
Oh, but my God. Okay,
so
great.
Far, very gripping. Can't look away.
Is it just me or is there like a real like, I want to say renaissance, but I guess it has never happened before, but just a real surgence of lesbian dramas and comedies at the moment, like in the mainstream, which is great.
It like, is really cool.
Yeah.
There's Bottoms and Drive Away Dolls. Have you guys seen that?
No.
I'm about to watch. It looks really fun. It's kind of like a similar kind of like comedy drama. It's got like Pedro Pascal and like a couple other people like that in it. But it's like, I think they're like
are on
the run from a, like a murder, but it's like a slapstick comedy kind
of
thing.
Fun.
Okay, I love it.
Just things like that. I love that we're seeing like queer stories and in particular queer female stuff that is like front and center and not always about, you know, sapphic yearning.
No.
Oh, absolutely. And like, it's funny as well because I feel like it's only coming to light now because we have more diverse representation across all boards, like queer, gay, lesbian, POC. But sometimes like the thing we forget is that we are in this Melbourne bubble where we're seeing queer couples everywhere.
Yeah.
But I get DMs of people being like, oh my God, I've never seen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I forget. Not everyone has Sydney Road, Brunswick. No.
Literally. Yeah. And that's why it's like so exciting and people get so like, oh, there's fucking rainbows everywhere. And it's like, no, there aren't.
Yeah.
There aren't rainbows everywhere. I like to look back at TV shows and movies and stuff and like queer coded characters being like, I wonder like if this was written now, if they would be gay.
Yeah.
Like the big one for me is Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles in 10 Things I Hate About You. That's a lesbian couple. One of them is a feminist artist. And the other one is a carpenter.
I would watch the shit out of that. That would also make a great musical.
Yeah.
In a kind of, what's the Alanis Morissette musical?
Jagged Little Pill.
Jagged Little Pill musical.
Except less preachy.
Yeah. But I can see it. I can totally see it.
There was apparently in the Jagged Little Pill musical, and I love that album, and I love anybody who is in that show. You're beautiful. But apparently there's a moment in the show where they're all like, at a, and I should say I've not seen it.
Yeah.
But they're at like a riot and they're all protesting, but all their signs are for like different things. Like it's all just like, there's no like clear, like someone is like, we need to support drug addiction and like, we need to like end this and like
BLM.
Gay rights. And everybody has like, there's a sign for everything. And they're all singing this big impassioned number. It's like, where are we?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, speaking about musicals, there has been drama in the Green Room Awards.
Oh, what happened?
Have you heard?
No.
I'm not even a musical
fan. Are you not kidding? What's going on?
I was like, how is Aurelia telling us musical tea?
I do not know, but like where there's tea, there's me.
We've clearly rubbed off on you.
I just follow like a bunch of people who are involved in it. And I was like, oh, okay. They're making 20 million stories. Something must be going down.
Oh my God. I'm so in. Tell me.
So the Green Room.
I'm so sad to have missed this.
I'll send it to you. There's a highlight on somebody's story. So the Green Room Awards, for anyone not in the know, are like the musical theatre awards.
Just the theatre awards.
Melbourne.
It's just Melbourne.
It's not Australia. It's just
no. The Heltman Awards are the Australian ones, and then
yes,
the Green Room and is
The first criticism is like a lot of the nominated shows are sort of the big ones, you know, Groundhog Day, whatever. So it's already like not very diverse. But they had somebody to do the acknowledgement of country, which by now in my mind is such a standard of any event.
Yeah.
Anywhere you go to, if you don't have an acknowledgement of country, it's like, what are you doing?
Mm.
So they had somebody in the sidelines waiting to go on and do the acknowledgement. I don't remember her name now, but she's a First Nations person who was going to do it. And she was like trying to get the event people's attention. Nobody brought her on. They skipped the acknowledgement of country the event and like went quite far into it before somebody else finally intervened and like got her on. And I think that just was
That's like the
catalyst of all the other criticism as well, of showing like the people organizing this aren't really, well, first of all, they're badly organized, and also people are disillusioned with the industry, and it just kind of all like piled onto each other.
Fuck, what a embarrassing.
What a waste of that person's time too. It's so disrespectful to be like, please come here, like do this thing.
Yeah.
And like, it sort of shows like, have you thought about this? Like, cause that's the thing with like acknowledgements of country as well, is that like it can become so formalized and such a wash and such a routine, rather than actually sitting here and being like, where are we?
Yeah.
Mm. What are we doing? What are we acknowledging?
It's kind of like revealing that they clearly think of it as just this like addendum to the event. It's 100%. Just like, oh, it's just this little thing that we can tack on, because clearly she wasn't presenting an award or like giving a speech or doing something integral in the running order that they were like, oh, of course we're going to remember you. Like it dropped their mind because it probably wasn't a very important part of the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's exactly. A mess. That's God. Shit.
There you go.
Well, thank you for that juicy tea. In other musical theatre news, have you seen that the trailer for Joker 2 has dropped this week?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, my God.
Is it with Lady Gaga?
Yes. It looks it's a musical. So bad.
I think,
the best way.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I will be front and center watching. I haven't seen Joker 1 and I will not watch Joker 1, but I will be there for Joker 2. It's called, it's got like some byline. It's like Joker 2, Joy de Vivre or something like that. It's like, it's got some French.
Yeah. Oh,
what's his name still in it?
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Joaquin.
But it's written as a musical and it's apparently got like...
So he's going to sing and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like him and Harley Quinn will be like going into their kind of like musical fantasy world.
Mm. And she's gone like, it's Lady Gaga. She's gone full method. She's gone like, she is.
She killed a couple people.
Character.
Like, she went all out. She went to the House of Gucci school
so
losing
funny.
Yourself.
Yeah.
It's going to be
say
a spectacle.
The actors round table when she's like, you guys ever like drink like fake wine on set and then you start feeling drunk? And everyone was like, no.
Yeah, I just act Gaga.
Oh my God, what so in the funny. Austin Butler.
Oh my God. Know? Have you guys seen June 2 yet?
No.
I have, yes.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I liked it. Yeah, I think I've said I liked it before, but Austin Butler, I haven't really seen him act.
Yeah.
And he was great.
He was good. Yeah. Also, people thirsting after him in that role, I find so bizarre.
He's very like alien white.
Yeah. Flesh, but I've seen so many gays be like, I didn't find Austin Butler hot until I saw him in June 2.
It's because a lot of gays have issues.
Clearly, because he's like a bald sociopath in this movie with like gnashing teeth.
But
like
he has great abs.
True. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
giving like mask for mask.
Yeah. It's a butterface. Yeah.
He's got gnashing abs.
Yes. But I'm so excited for Joker 2. I love anything that's a musical, especially if it's bad.
And especially if it's linked to someone's psychosis.
Yes, exactly. True.
Have either of you seen Mean Girls, a musical?
Not yet.
No, neither.
It looks so bad. I've watched like some of the songs as the video clips of the movie. It's really horrendously done. The budget's so low. Okay. The way it's filmed is so janky. They try to do that shitty thing where it's like incorporating social media into the way that it's filmed. So like a lot of it, like when it shifts into song, it will become like a TikTok.
No, that's my absolute ick.
I know.
The only absolutely. Movie that has successfully translated social media into film has been Tar.
Wait, how?
I'm leaving.
I've seen Tar. Which bit?
I also have not seen Tar. I'm a bad lesbian.
You'll love it.
Okay.
It's just get fucking high and watch it. You'll think it's so funny.
Yes. This is Jordan not seeing Fleabag level. You need to see Tar.
Okay. You're right. I will.
I haven't seen it. It's at the start when she's texting, like we don't know who it is, but someone is texting and sort of filming Tar on the plane and stuff like that. And
it's
they're
the
communicating.
Girl, the ex.
Or it's the ex, or it's like her assistant who she's currently working with. And they're kind of bitching and like being like, oh my God. And it's not like, oh my God, is she doing this? It's so normal. And like, it feels so realistic.
It's handled well.
And then also like you see this scene where she's berating this piano player. I think he's a piano player. I can't remember. Or he's a conductor.
Mm.
She's berating him about tokenism and he's
Is that where like he like walks out and it's like a class?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that happens. And this movie is long. And that happens.
That's
you kind of move on.
It.
And then suddenly you see how it's been filmed and like the quality of it. And it's not like, because sometimes they'll translate things into TikTok or Instagram videos or viral videos, but it looks like it's been professionally shot.
Yes.
But like this director clearly was like, can somebody just film this moment on the iPhone?
Yeah.
And then we play it. And it was just for a second and it didn't dwell. Well, on it being like, this is the moment. It was just like, this is happening as well. And it like, it felt more
that's
like
good.
In the world and
it's
part of
that,
the story.
Like, iCarly thing where it's like, if we just kind of like chuck a little logo in the corner and have like people talking to camera, that's what kids are doing on the internet these days. It's like, that's not how it works.
No. And how dare you bring up iCarly in this post quiet on set world.
Oh God.
Another movie that I thought handled social media very well was May December.
Yes.
Because if you remember, like when he's texting
the girl that's
into butterflies or whatever, they don't do that thing where like they have like a text sound effect and then it's got like a janky little image of like the conversation happening. It comes up almost as though it's a subtitle.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like softly there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in your face. And it's like you understand what's happening enough, but they're not trying to make it look digital. And and I really like that. So I feel like hopefully films move into this new thing where we accept that social media is a part of it, but we don't need it replicated on screen.
No. Yeah. My biggest ick with movies or like things that I'm like, this is so glaringly obvious, is anyone under 40 having their phone on loud. I'm like, that never happens.
Or the typing like sound.
Yeah. Never.
Oh, stop it already.
Yes.
You don't need it. And it just doesn't have to be that big of a deal, but it feels like it's like this whole conversation behind the scenes about like how to represent a text.
Also, my pet peeve in movies, and now that I've said it, you will see it in every film, in particular any American film, people never say goodbye on the phone.
Oh my God, never.
Yeah.
They never do. It shits me to death. Another, like, say goodbye.
Say goodbye. Something else that someone pointed out that I was like, oh, that's so obvious, and now I can't unsee it either, is like period shows, like something set in the 80s, 70s, the 50s or whatever. The furniture dressing and the costume dressing is as if they have bought all their furniture within the year of the movie coming out. Mm-hmm. As if the clothes that they're wearing are exactly in fashion and their hair is exactly like.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, people own furniture for decades and like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, nothing is out of place.
And like 80s is always like neon and colorful and stuff like that. It's like, no, people had like shit from the 60s now, let alone then.
I have a question for you guys of something I was thinking about when I was stoned.
So, a new segment.
When, I mean, like radio stations now, we obviously have lots of different stations playing different music. But, you know, you'll be in any station will play a song from like the 90s or the 80s every now and then. Mm-hmm. So do you think in the 80s or whatever, they were playing music from like the 60s?
Yes.
Or like the 60s, they were playing music from like the 50s and 40s. And then like it always goes back a few more years.
I would reckon.
And then when is the point? And then obviously that music has phased out. Like we're never going to really hear, you know, Elvis or I don't even know artists from that time, from the 30s, 40s. Yeah,
Madonna.
You don't really hear them on the radio anymore. And there will be a time when like Flo Rida will be played on the radio for the last time and then never again.
Is that thing where it's like at some point your parents had to hold you for the last time
and put you down.
Someone listened to Flo Rida for the last time.
Like Pitbull, last time. That's gonna
Pitbull is evergreen. But I totally get what you mean. Like I was thinking about how like when we were teenagers, there was a real Beatles songs going on. Like I was obsessed with the Beatles and it just felt like it was everywhere because that was like 40 or 50 years ago at the time. And now like largely because of like TikTok and stuff like that, but the Cranberries are having such a huge resurgence. You just realize that now things that you enjoyed are retro.
Yes.
Us realizing we're aging.
I know.
Oh no.
Well, you were talking about Pitbull. I have to just say, like public service announcement, Pitbull's song Powerful Women featuring Dolly Parton is unironically a fucking bob.
I'm gonna write it.
I have not heard the song.
Seriously, listen to it on the way home. It's actually so fun. It samples 9 to 5 and it uses that like bam down thing and but then it's got like him rapping and then like every now and then like Dolly does her kind of like, hey, I'm Dolly and I'm here like helping out with this song. And it's so like campy and kitsch, but it's like him being like, my mom worked 3 jobs, she was a single mom, like, and I fucking love my mom, she was a powerful woman. And it's so like, it's like he's just discovered feminism. And
I love it.
It's so cute, but it's a very fun song.
That's so funny.
I'm going to get around it.
Yeah.
I love the like Dolly Parton, like Beyonce, Pitbull. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's around. She's great.
She's working it.
Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Yeah. Flo Rida, get on that Dolly P.
Get on that. Come on. If you want to exist in the future. Have you heard the rumor that Dolly Parton has like a full arm of sleeves?
Tats.
Yeah.
What?
I have heard this, yes.
Because she wears, she always wears long sleeves, like especially in the last few years. But also in the, someone pointed out to me in the Miley Cyrus Dolly Parton Christmas show, you can see that she's wearing full gloves, and this is probably like an aging thing as well, but she's wearing full gloves with acrylic nails on them to hide her like hands. But there's just this long-standing rumor that she has tats all over her.
Oh my God, I would love it.
I'm not surprised.
I want to believe it.
I don't know if Dolly Parton is straight. I don't know if she's gay, but I don't know if she's straight. She's got a husband. She's had a husband for a long time, same guy.
Schrodinger's gay.
Nobody.
Yeah, and it's very like, what's Oprah's husband's name?
Oprah has
a husband?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not Gail.
I was like, I was just going to say. Like, literally, wasn't she married to like Dr. Phil?
No.
Oh my God, that would be such a funny crossover, wouldn't it?
Wait, or did he just look like Dr. Phil?
No. He's
something in my brain has like connected those.
He's like a really tall, kind of like goofy looking guy.
Okay. I mean, sometimes you just think people in similar professions are like friends or partners or something. Because like talk show.
Bi wife energy is what these people have. I swear Oprah's husband name is like Topha or something.
Oh, Topha is such a weird name. I did not understand for the longest time that it was short for Christopher.
Oh, I'm finding that out right now.
You've just blown my mind.
I gotta find out. I'm gonna find out Oprah's husband's
name. And also, Drew from Andrew.
the fuck?
That's random.
Isn't that so weird?
Ugh. Have you guys seen, we were talking about like morning TV, you know, like, oh my God.
What were we talking about, Charlie, before you had a stroke? Yeah,
yeah. Kelly Clarkson's, the Kelly Clarkson show.
sorry.
Stegman.
Stedman, that's right.
Stedman is Oprah Winfrey's husband.
Oh, ben, how could you have a baby and call it Stedman?
Yeah.
Does he look like Dr. Phil?
He actually does. He's kind
okay,
of...
Okay, that's my confusion.
He's like, he is Dr. Phil.
Okay.
He does.
To be fair, I thought that was Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah.
As a child.
Yeah. Same absolutely. Energy. Kind of tall guy, kind of nothing behind the eyes. Always got his mouth open in photos.
Kelly Clarkson's cover of 1985. You know how she does like her Kellyoke, where she like covers songs
and then everyone's like, destroys the original.
Yes. And it's like RIP to the original artist. Her cover of 1985 by Bowling for Soup is one of the most transcendent, awesome covers I have ever heard. I need it on Spotify. It's fucking amazing. Please go listen to it. It's such a throwback. And the song, like if you remember 1985, it's like, you know, Debbie just hit the wall. She never had it all. It's all about like being like an older woman who's like not cool anymore. And like all the things that she loved growing up are no longer like in fashion.
That's having us.
Having a woman sing it just feels so correct. It's yeah. fucking amazing. It's like she wrote it.
Is her talk show any good?
I don't know. I've just been watching all the songs and living. And she looks 12. Have you yeah. seen her recently?
Wow.
Is she on Ozempic?
Maybe. But just something's different with her makeup. Like she's...
She went through a divorce, so she might have just like...
Yeah, but like post-divorce, like...
Yeah.
Surgery. Women glow after a breakup because it's like, wow, that man was really...
Weighing
you
down.
You back.
Yeah, yeah, your skin bounces back. But I think I've noticed in Hollywood as well, there's this different thing with like the eyeliner. It's like where you don't put eyeliner on the lower lid at all. Mm. And it makes the eye look like really like young kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, putting white on the inside
yes.
makes it look bigger as well.
Yes, we it's more that. Like doe-eyed kind of thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm going to perfect that makeup look. Next time I'm on video, you'll be like, oh my God, the eyes are huge.
We were talking a little bit before about Trixie and Katja. I did just want to chat about how Katja put up a post this week saying that she is having to obviously step away from social media and stuff like that because she's going into rehab, which I found very upsetting to hear. Obviously, you know, I hope for the best for her. But mostly because it made me sad to think that she's at that level of fame that she even has to communicate something so private and vulnerable, like I'm struggling with addiction and I need to go and have rehab with her fans.
Mm. Mm. She said as well, one of her regrets on RuPaul was saying that she's in NA and AA.
Yeah.
Like just revealing that she goes to it. Because she's just like, in hindsight, she was like, it sort of defeats the purpose of what that is. Like obviously there's the anonymous so that people have safety of anonymity, but also because everyone in that room is equal. Everyone is a hopeless addict. It's not I say that's phrasing from The Big Book. I'm not saying everyone in there is hopeless, but that's like how you have to refer to yourself. And it's all about taking ownership over your own actions and stuff like that, and about how you cannot make money, you cannot benefit or profit from this program, from being a part of this. This is all about taking ownership and making amends to the people around you and stuff like that, which is why when people like Russell Brand and Dax Shepard take everything from AA, then discredit the whole thing and then release books being like, this is how you get over addiction. And oh, that's so funny. It's actually the same steps that AA recommends, but you've just monetized it.
Yeah.
It's so weird. And like Katja puts it more eloquently, but just kind of says that like, once she did that, she would have people coming up to her being like, your sober journey inspired me. And she was like, I was high out of my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like that.
And also don't hold me, like, don't put me in that place of having to be somebody's guidance on something that is so volatile and personal.
And it is really hard because we want to work on destigmatizing addiction and having people realize that it is a disease and that it's not like you can think your way out of it in one afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw this crazy Joe Rogan clip. I would never listen to the whole podcast, but it was a clip where he was interviewing a guy who wanted to prove that addiction wasn't real. So,
and then he got addicted.
And so he took meth and got addicted and was
I
like,
saw this.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, this is actually really sad because he can't think his way out of it. He can't like blog his way out of genuine addiction because it's not controllable by a mere thought and going on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with like drugs like meth or oxy and stuff. It changes your brain chemistry completely.
That's crazy. Like to like seek it out and be like, I'm going to prove this wrong. And then be like, oh, there's something here.
Yeah. Mm. And also just the arrogance of that. Like only a man could do. It's like, oh, I'm going to get a really hard to conquer disease just so I can prove all the millions of people who have actually struggled, maybe overcome, but maybe also sadly passed away and showed them that I'm better than them.
Genuinely. It's like that guy, there's this like YouTuber who his whole deal is like proving that venomous animals aren't that bad. And so he goes and...
Scientists have done this, babe.
Yeah, but he goes out and lets all these like venomous spiders, snakes and stuff like that bite him. And then will prove, he's like, well, I lived. There was one of them, it was like he got bitten by some spider or snake or whatever. And he was in screaming agony, writhing for 28 consecutive hours. And then like had to go to hospital and that kind of stuff. But he's like, but I did it. And this was a success. I proved that like it's doable. It's like... What are you proving?
Thanks to the fucking hospital
yeah.
and those medical staff like panicking, keeping you alive for nothing.
And what are you trying to disprove?
All for YouTube?
And it's so like egotistical and so like capitalist and individuals will be like, no animal can take me down. It's like, okay, so you can't. Okay, so maybe a fucking redback isn't going to kill you. Now get in the mouth of a shark, bitch.
Yeah.
Humble yourself.
Show us that.
We are not above being killed by nature.
Yeah.
You can die at any time.
Go swimming in Sydney, babes.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. That is so stupid.
Darwin Award kind of shit.
Yeah, literally. I'm just like, well, he'll die.
Yeah. Eventually he'll... Because that's the thing. It's like what you gain to lose is either in this instance of this guy trying all these drugs to prove that addiction isn't real and then getting addicted. It's like, well, that was the only real option. It's like either you proved it right or you become addicted. It's like, why did you ever take that risk?
And yeah. It's this assumption that the brain and the body are separate, that you float above yourself and you're strong and stuff. Like, it's like, no, even getting bitten by like a snake writhing in pain, your brain remembers that trauma. It can reframe everything.
Yeah.
There is a sea jellyfish for the simps out there. They're not actually fish, you stupid guys.
What are they actually called? Sea jelly?
They're technically called sea jellies. They don't have any bones.
That doesn't sound very threatening.
But sea jelly sounds like something I would order at a fancy restaurant.
Yes, with my boba.
Well, there are chefs.
Do you want sea jelly with that?
There are chefs who are trying to turn sea jellies and starfish or sea stars, because they're also not a fish.
Oh my God.
Into
Jordan's
food.
Got some beef with the aquatic community.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I would never eat a starfish. The texture of that thing is disgusting.
It's so gross.
It's like meaty broccoli.
Do you have calamari?
Yeah, because it's smooth.
I don't think that starfish would be too weird. Like, they've been drying it and turning it into a flower.
Yuck. Ooh.
Like crushing it so it can be...
Sacrilege.
But we have to get these things out of the ocean. Usually I'm all about keeping them in, but sea jellies and starfish are taking over because the big fish that used to eat them no longer exist. So now when in like 20, 30 years, we probably won't be able to swim in the bay without jellyfish are starting to come further down south. The more venomous ones like blue... What are they called? The
blue bottles?
Blue bottles. I saw a blue bottle on the beach in Port Phillip Bay last year and I was like, this is canary in a coal mine situation. But not to freak you out, there's lots of amazing work happening out there and we can help fix it.
But wait, so these are becoming pests basically. Is that what you're saying? Like they're overrunning the ocean because they don't have a predator anymore.
No, and the one animal that loves warm ocean temperatures is sea jellies because that's how they breed and multiply. They need warm water.
Oh, yeah.
Are they those like little things that look like they're like a half moon shape and they wash up on the shore?
Oh, don't they call them shark eggs?
No, they're snail eggs. There's shark eggs as well. They're the moon snail eggs. Those little jellies. Sea jellies, I literally mean jellyfish.
Oh, okay.
Jellyfish are taking over. So what's the really dangerous one that kills people? Box jellies. They're coming further down south. This is like all doomed, but there is good stuff and we'll figure it out. But this Irukandji, just circling back to the guy poisoning himself. There's a guy who did the same thing with the Irukandji jellyfish, which it can be found usually in northern parts of Australia where they tell you not to swim anyway.
Yeah.
But one of the symptoms is impending doom. So like,
I would never know.
We've all been stung.
Yeah. I'd be like, nothing's out of the normal.
Nothing's out of the normal.
Wow, I can't believe that they diagnosed that.
Yeah, well, because there was this like girl who got stung, and like you can survive. You're in a lot of pain, but she like the paramedics are working on her, and she like, I'm paraphrasing this, but she basically turned to her mom, was like, oh, just stop. It's all gonna go badly anyway.
Oh my god. And I'm imagining like the NCIS music, like dum dum
dum dum.
Yeah.
There was a show I half watched, half asleep, Three Body Problem.
What is that?
Josh watched this and I like watched over his shoulder. Do you know the tea about the behind the scenes thing?
No, tell me that immediately.
Tell me about this show first, okay, and then tell me the tea.
Okay, wait, Aurelia, talk about the show and then I'll talk about the behind the scenes tea.
So basically the premise is there's this alien race from hundreds of light years away, but they're traveling to Earth to take over.
Oh, cool.
They can't live on their planet anymore, but they have really advanced technology. And with how advanced their technology is, they're basically surveilling everything on Earth at all times. And they're coming to Earth to take over, but they're 400 years away. So people are working on making a plan to defend planet Earth and, you know, save humanity through secrecy and stuff because they're watching everything all the time. But also all these scientists and the UN Secret Council and like M15, I'm making this up, but they're working like on sending out starships, blah, blah, blah. But the most unrealistic thing is they're 400 years away. And a lot of people are like, well, it's 400 years away, whatever, like we'll be dead anyways, which is my mindset as well.
Yeah.
But we literally have a climate crisis on our hands.
Yeah.
And this is making it out like the whole world is working together to defend the common enemy, the aliens. Meanwhile, we have our own very real crisis less than 400 years away and nobody's uniting to do anything against it. The opposite is happening. And
it's
anyways,
like realistically there'd be some billionaire who's trying to make a deal with the aliens.
Exactly.
Or they've like, the government has sold Earth and the plan is that they'll get on the ship, they'll be able to hang out.
Exactly.
Wow.
So that was like, oh okay, make something realistic but also good to watch. So now we're ready for the drama.
Okay, so a Chinese billionaire formerly involved in the series Three Body Problem was murdered by poison by an executive that
the woman's weapon
on the show. And that guy who murdered him is now facing the death penalty.
Whoa.
It was like people that are like working on the production of the show.
Oh my
god.
Because isn't it, it's like about like a, it's sort of like meta game within a game, like a simulated reality.
They have these headsets they're giving humans and you can put it on and then you see like the future and it's making all these people commit suicide because
good lord.
And like people are seeing like a countdown on everything every time they look up. There's lots of little things to it, but wow, I can't believe this guy died for the show. I'm sorry.
So I feel like there's now going to be like a show about the making of the Three Body Problem as a show, which would be interesting. And also the writers of the show, I forget their name. It's like David something and like they call them like D&D or whatever, something like that. They were the writers of Game of Thrones.
I was going to say,
Who were kind of like, everyone turned on them because Game of Thrones' final season was so shit.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh, wow, we don't want to work with you anymore. And like, I think they had originally been signed on to make some kind of like Star Wars movie. But then after Game of Thrones season 8, they got pulled from that.
Fuck.
So this was their return into television, was the Three Body Problem sort of thing.
Where can we watch this?
Netflix.
Oh, no way. Okay, I'll get into it.
Yeah.
I think the show is great
from
what I've seen.
But over
it's just like plagued by drama. Like,
True.
We might need to get into our pop and flop.
Yeah, let's do it. I have a pop this week.
Yes.
Louis Tomlinson from The One Direction.
I love him.
Has said this week that he needs fans to stop talking about Larry Stylinson.
Never.
He says, stop the tumblers. Let's get it together. I'm a 30-year-old man not dating Harry Styles, and I need you to stop making fan fictions about me getting fucked by Harry.
Mm.
And I think that's fair enough. But also, it's that Barbara Streisand effect where it's like, we weren't talking about Larry Stylinson in the year 2024. until you brought this back up again.
Most people are talking about Obama and Harry Styles.
What? What? That's news to me.
You guys don't get that on your TikTok feeds?
No.
I get a lot of edits of them being in love and like people cutting it together. And, like,
oh my God, I love those mega
and, like,
cuts.
And people cutting together like Obama being like, and I love Harry Styles more than anyone.
Who went bottom?
I think.
They're both Verse.
Yeah, I would assume Verse.
Or like two bottoms like bumping purses.
Maybe that's why it couldn't work out.
Yeah. That was Trouble in Paradise. What the fuck? I love like insane shipping nonsense. Yes. I think it's so funny.
It is funny.
So yeah, good on Louis for saying no, but I feel like it's probably done the opposite. Got everybody talking about it again.
100%. I have a pop and it is celebrities talking about the eclipse.
Oh my God, I'm sick of it.
I know, well, it's like because we didn't even fucking see, like, I'm like, I can't see it here.
Yeah,
I'm not interested.
We were like in bed when it was happening.
Yeah.
We got nothing exciting.
Well, we don't see it, like, it even in the Southern Hemisphere.
And also I'm like, that's so unfair.
I know.
But apparently we get one in 2028.
Okay, great.
Let's hope we're still alive.
I'll set my calendar.
I believe the Irukandji hasn't got us.
Yeah. Did you see Sarah Jessica Parker?
That's the one that I saw, which is like, ah!
Yes, it's like her with Matthew Broderick in the background. Oh. Being like, it's extraordinary.
They're so funny.
It's like so wholesome.
Wealthy people love the stars.
Yeah.
Because they know they can afford to take it out.
Yeah, exactly.
My pop for this week is making friends with your neighbors.
Nice.
Yes. I'm trying to be like wholesome and stuff. Some of my neighbors came to my show and we're going to catch up with, I'm going to go for coffee with one of them. And it's kind of like nice to have a bit of a community spirit that I think has kind of gotten lost in modern living arrangements, unless you're in a share house or.
Yeah.
So yeah, just befriending the neighbors, smiling to people in the elevator, saying hello.
Human kindness. That's beautiful.
Wow, what a pop.
That extends your lifespan, knowing your neighbors. Do you know the longest living community in the world are Greek Australians? Because they have such a strong sense of community. They eat together. They check in on one another. It's not about fucking ice baths. It's about knowing your neighbor's names.
Oh my God. But wouldn't it be funny if it was actually something like Saganaki is actually.
I am living by that. Yeah. Don Marty's. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to live forever. I'll assume that.
Oh fuck. I need some Saganaki. I'm going to have Greek tonight.
Oh, yum. Oh my God. I'm going to get a suva after this.
I'm hungry.
Yes.
All right. Let's go get some food.
Let's do it. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGazePod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince.
Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.